Hello, Richard, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, how
And
you doing?
good. I've got some back problems right now for my new
Oh.
exercise program. The weak link has been my lower back. So I've
Okay.
had to shut down my exercise program to let my back heal. So I
Yeah,
think it's
the
that two steps forward, one step back. I think I'm on the one step back phase of things right now.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, that's always something I've always been wary of with anyone that starts a new exercise program is you're always better off introducing to it slowly and not seeing the injury and continue to do it. And people tend to, and I don't just mean you, I mean people in general tend to
exactly, yeah.
But that's good though. That's good that you are acknowledging that because a lot of people push
Yeah.
through it and
Yeah, and I'm not giving
yeah.
up. You know, a lot of people would then give up, and I'm not doing that. And you know, I was working through it, and it felt good. Well, if I would keep perfect posture in exercising, then it actually felt really good, and I felt more like I was in alignment and stuff afterwards. But then the next morning it would hurt. So
Oh, I
I
see.
decided to take a couple weeks off. So it was a little confusing because those times I was working out, wow, I feel really good. I thought this is a great thing, but then every morning it was like, oh, this isn't so good. So
Oh, I
I'll
see.
just take a couple weeks off and heal it. So
Yeah, that's a good
it's
idea.
fine. Yeah. And you just got back. You just got back from New York, correct?
From a great trip, and I'm sure we're talk about it more on the podcast. I'm sure everyone's going to
Oh,
get
cool.
to hear all about it.
Great.
It was good. Good. Cold.
Good. Yeah, that's what I heard.
And I just missed a storm. I caught the last flight out before the storm hit. So
Oh, there was a storm. Wow.
apparently we had to fly through it. So it took us an extra 40 took us an extra 40 minutes to get back.
Wow. So it was a snowstorm coming in.
I don't know whether it's snow, rain, but they delayed us going out because of it, and then they said that we were lucky because we got out there just before the storm hit. So whether they
Wow.
were just saying it because they were delayed and they were trying to think
Yeah.
of an excuse. Like in England, they always say the trains are delayed because of leaves on the track, or they always come up with some sort of
Leaves on the track. Oh, yes,
they have
the
all these pre-recorded the train is 40 minutes late because there is, and then it would have some excuse. They've got like four pre-recorded excuses.
Let's pick the closest one. Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got a couple of great questions here
Great.
for us to divulge and go into. So let me just pull these questions up. And the first one, which is a very good question, is I know that on the I Exercise Express, you have palming down for 10 minutes. But how long should I palm for if I want to get maximum benefits?
Wow,
So
that is a good question.
nice. Kind of feels like an open-ended question in my
It is a bit
mind.
open end, yeah. But we can talk a lot about it.
So
Yeah.
I guess the first thing is to pick out the term maximum benefits. Again, maximum benefits could mean anything, really, if you think about it. And this is nothing against the individual that wrote it or anybody that writes these terms. It's just something that very few of us think about being specific about what it is that we actually mean. And it's actually quite an art, isn't it, to try and
Yeah,
narrow what we mean.
it is. It is. Most of us don't do it.
Now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, I guess maximum benefits of palming, you could say, The ultimate goal for palming is relaxation. So I guess for this question, I guess we could say, you know, how long should you palm for until you reach deep relaxation? And what would you say about that, Richard?
Well, there is the, if you remember the research that Mayer gave to us from, I believe it was done in Brazil, perhaps. I can't remember where the research was done. Okay. About clearing out the thalamus of visual information and how long that takes. Mm-hmm. So backing up a bit then. So the palming is covering the eye orbits, and it is benefiting the whole visual system, but the part of the visual system that we tend to talk about when we talk about palming is the optic nerve. And the optic nerve is the nerve that runs from the retina to back to the thalamus and then to the brain. And the thalamus is sort of the it's sort of a switching station along the nerve, and it's where information, that sort of unneeded information, is stopped. And because we're in such a visually rich and pressure-filled environment in the modern world, we are taking in a lot of visual information all the time. And the theory behind the palming is that we overload the optic nerve and we overload the thalamus with visual information. So cupping your hands over your eye orbits, and this is where the visualizing black comes in, and some people do it and like it, and other people don't do it and don't like it. But that's the theory behind visualizing black, is you're trying to shut down the optic nerve as much as possible. But even if you're just in a dark room and covering your eye orbits with your palms, you're mostly shutting down the optic nerve. And that gives it time to clear out this excess information, visual information, which takes the form of potassium. It is a chemical. It's a, yeah, an element, essentially, that needs to be cleared out. So, according to this research, it took, I believe it was 6 minutes, I'm pretty sure, for that to clear out. I think that's right. Yeah. That being said, we went for 10 in the Express because we think more is better, actually, even though in theory it clears out in 6 minutes. In our experience in treating almost all eye conditions, that more is better in terms of palming. You know, you almost can't do too much palming.
Unless you have glaucoma.
Go ahead and say that, because that was, go for it, Will. I think you should explain.
So we say minimum of 6 minutes. I personally like my well-rounded numbers, as I'm sure. So that's why I like going for that's why we've certainly gone for 10 minutes. And I also feel that a lot of time when what I was finding with clients is that when we said 6 minutes, they were doing three. People tend to kind of do half of whatever you say. And also, I kind of feel like if we compare how much we're doing in our day, 10 minutes kind of seems like a nicer rounded number than 6 minutes. So anyway, with glaucoma, there's an issue where if you have closed angle glaucoma, but we do suggest this for anyone that has been diagnosed with glaucoma, that because when you palm or when you're in the dark, the pupil dilates, and then that sort of cuts off as the pupil dilates, it gets fat as it reaches the outer rims of the eye there, and it can, if you've got closed angle, then it can block off more of the trabecular mesh, which is where the aqueous humor can goes
essentially.
Yeah, so it makes a little bit more to drain. So if you've got a really dilated pupil, then that's not as good. So we recommend a minimum of 10 minutes. You can still do, you know, an hour, but you can do six lots of 10 minutes throughout the day instead of sitting and doing a 1 hour palming session. We said closed angle there, but we kind of recommend for all glaucoma.
Yeah, 10
people.
Minutes, but...
So that's the only time. For myself, I think my longest stint palming on and off in a day, I did 30 hours over 2 days.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I did 15 hours each day, and so there's definitely not a limit there. I guess we would say the only real limit on palming is that you need to be loose. And anytime it feels like sort of a strain, your shoulders are strained, you feel uncomfortable, your back feels tight, you know, the mind is too restless, any sort of indication that, you know, you need to move, then, you know, just you could either go do the, you know, tennis balls exercise, go for a walk. You know, I broke up my palming by going doing, you know, a juice, or going down the shops and buying some veg or whatever, and then come back to it if need be. You should never force yourself to sit and palm, and it could just be a case of building up. You know, I've been palming for 6 years, so it's not like day one, sit and palm for 15 hours.
Right. And there definitely are some people who find it a little daunting for some reason. Some people just don't like it.
Yeah. And only my last client this afternoon, she was saying how she palmed for, I recommended 20 minutes. She did half an hour, and she said she reported that she's never felt such deep relaxation in her eyes.
Oh, wow.
And around the 20-minute mark, she felt something release. She said it was more inside her, like some sort of a muscle relaxed or something that she was able to let go of. And she said she's never felt so good mentally and physically there in the eye. So, you know, it sort of highlights, I guess, everyone is... It's kind of different where they are, and everyone has their point of relaxation. For me, I think it's probably around 10-15 minutes. My eyes start to the grayness, the optic nerve that is still pretty active, and I think that's also partly because of my RP starts to settle down, and then I start feeling the energy coming through. So it's for me, it's normally around that 10-15 minute mark. So I tend to not palm any less than that.
Yeah, that's what I do too. Yeah.
But then somebody could feel that, you know, at the 5 minute mark, you know, there's no one way on this. But certainly I guess we could go on the fact that the minimum is 6 minutes. Now that's not to say that you shouldn't stop and palm, like when we do our sunning exercise in the Express, we tell you to sun for about 4 minutes, turn and palm for 5 deep breaths, and then turn and sun again. So, you know, it could be the same with any exercise, especially if you're doing something somewhat strenuous like shifting or the presbyopia chants. Anything that you feel you need a bit of a break, you can turn or you can just stop and palm 5 deep breaths and then go back to your exercise that you're doing.
Right. Yeah, and when palming is essential, it seems like just one of many exercises, but it's not the exercise you want to scrimp on. If anything, take one of the, if you don't have the time that day, take off one of the other exercises. Because if you stop palming, if you decide, I don't have time to palm, you're always you're in some ways stressing your eyes a bit more. and you're not getting the relaxation. So you really have to do the palming, or you will pay the price eventually. So it's a necessary part of any eye exercise program. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is that you don't do it only when you're tired. That actually, if your eyes are already rested, like in the morning, it's also a good time to do it because you've kind of had a head start on that relaxation. So by sleeping, so it's actually very good to do it in the morning. Don't think of it as only an antidote to strain. You're also trying to make prevent. Some ways you're trying to make progress. Yeah. So do it both in the morning and the evening.
I think that's really important, and that's really something it took me a while to grasp that concept. Because when we have these conditions, we're working so hard to overcome them that it takes a while to realize that there's that, and then there's also preventing, using it as a preventative measure and not just as a treatment, so to speak.
Right. Oh, the other thing I was going to say is eventually you will also, one of the gauges of how you're doing, it's hard to not notice this, but notice how many spots you have, light, sort of light globules floating around when you're palming, and that will change. It'll get more and more, there'll be less and less sort of light globules floating around. And then
and also
if you do the sun palming. Yeah, well, I'm colorblind, so it doesn't really, I don't think of them as colors.
Do you ever see colors, like maybe red? Like say you're in the sun and you turn and palm.
Oh yeah, you're right. But I've never seen anything other than red. Is there another color than red?
Yeah. People report all kinds of colors. You know, like it's a bright blue. Oh, now it's turning into a deep purple. Now it's turning into, the colors kind of shift.
Yeah,
not everyone. Certain people.
Yeah, all right.
I don't see colors if I palm.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, not necessarily. And one last thing, what you were saying about some people find it difficult palming, and that how it's still an important exercise, I guess it comes down to personality again, that certain people only really like doing the active exercises.
Right.
So they don't really see any benefit from palming, you know, if it's not shifting or obstructing or, the peripheral vision exercise, all very active stuff. And many people find it difficult to just sit. And, that might be something interesting to go inwards and maybe think about a meditation practice or something and see if you can work on figuring out why it is difficult to sit. Some people, it's because they're feeling, you know, headaches or eye strain, that when they palm, it just highlights that strain. So in that case, that can be, it's a very difficult one, and that's something that you kind of need to speak to a practitioner about, really, in that situation. That doesn't tend to be that common, though. So, go on.
Yeah, you may, as you say, you may hit a point where it feels like worse all of a sudden, maybe at the 5 to 10 minute range, and then it gets better after that. And you're right, it's sort of like pain that was numbed out a little bit that suddenly comes to the surface. And that's when some people give it up. So it's good that people know that, so they don't go, oh, I'm always going to feel pain when I palm, I don't like it. And it's really just in that beginning stage we're sort of uncovering a lot of past strain that you're getting through. So,
yeah, it'd be one thing that's always good to do is maybe give that pain or strain a number between 1 and 10, let's say 10 being the highest, and then see if after 5 minutes of palming, sort of check in and see if it's still a 10 or maybe it's a 9 or an 8. Or maybe it's gone up. And then, you know, 10-minute mark, 15-minute mark, and you can start to play with how it feels at particular time. And I guess eventually you could figure out what your personal maximum benefit time is when you, you know, when you reach the point that it feels most comfortable.
Yeah. All of us want to get to the comfortable part. So, yeah.
Okay, great. So the second question is in relation to glasses prescription.
Okay.
And it says, I went to my opticianist to get some lower prescription glasses and came across some resistance. I was wondering where I can find some lower prescription glasses. So where can they find someone or somewhere that will lower their prescription? I think straight off the bat, we need to say that we, you know, strongly advise that everybody has a what we would call a full strength pair of glasses that is prescribed to you by your eye doctor, and you use those in any dangerous activity, be it, you know, driving, working heavy machinery, whatever it is, that you have those and you use those when you really need to. Now, the reason why we talk about lowering prescription is the idea is that you start to wean yourself off those full strength glasses so that on your everyday, be it relaxing in the house, you know, socializing with friends, that you're able to reduce your prescription down, and you know, reducing the strain that they create, reducing your dependency on the glasses, and making your eyes feeling better as a result. Go on.
I was going to say, our first choice, before we even get to the lowered prescriptions, I think our first choice for people, if they can do it, is to have the full strength glasses, and then take, and then, you know, only wear them when they need to, like driving or any other safety oriented situation, and just not wear glasses the rest of the time. That's the way I did it, and that's the way you did it. But we know other people, even other practitioners, who found that it was too much of a strain when they took off their glasses. And that's where you go to the lowered prescription. So if you're straining, Will and I, for some reason, when we took off our glasses, it didn't cause headaches. It didn't cause any kind of strain. And that's our preferred way of doing this. But we also don't want you to strain and get headaches from not wearing any glasses all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's where the reduced one could. Is that if somebody feels that they are straining, then they're better off wearing glasses. This is something that people don't always understand. You're better off wearing your glasses and not straining than you are not wearing them and straining. I think I was kind of lucky in the way that I stopped wearing mine and then went on a 2-month trip around Southeast Asia. And also I was on the beach, I was out trekking, I was climbing mountains, you know, I was really, so by the time I came back, you know, any habit, I don't even know if I took them with me. But the habit side of wearing glasses was broken. And then obviously I had all the eye exercises I was doing, plus all the natural eye exercises of being out. I maybe spent an hour maximum in that whole 2 months sitting in front of a computer. So I guess I was a bit more of an advantage, but certainly that straining thing aspect is very important. And as you say, ideally, you know, it's called natural vision improvement. So ideally, we're not wearing anything, but certainly for a lot of people, more so at the beginning.
Maybe they should be wearing clothes, you know. You said they shouldn't be wearing anything. I think they should be wearing clothes, just not glasses.
Especially if it's cold out.
That's right. But maybe if you're in Southeast Asia and a nude beach, then you're fine. So.
Yeah, I never saw this. So ideally, you're not wearing any glasses, prescription glasses. I'm glad you pointed that out before we get complaints. Someone says, so I went out naked yesterday. My vision still wasn't that good, and I got arrested. But it's, again, it's all different depending on the individual. Someone could have -2 and they feel completely blind without their glasses, whereas someone who's a -8 would love to have the -2 vision and would deem that as as crystal clear vision. So each person is to their own in that extent. Certainly someone with the higher myopia, like -8, without their prescription, then obviously it's a much bigger challenge for them to go cold turkey, so to speak, than somebody who is just a -2 or a -3 that can still function relatively well once they get used to it. So that's a good thing to highlight there, Richard, as far as prescription reduction is concerned.
The other thing I was going to say is that I believe legally you have the right to your written prescription. Because a lot of them try
to... You have a right to all your... any medical records or any... they're your records.
Well, I feel bad doing this to them because it's really an economic issue for the optometrist. He's the one who determined your prescription. But I believe his biggest profit margin is... ordering glasses for you, and you could get them cheaper elsewhere. So they're motivated to withhold that prescription from you, so that you are forced to buy the glasses from them. It's completely economic. And so when you ask for it, that's probably what they think you're doing. You could get the. Well, I guess where I'm going is you could get the prescription and then have it filled. You could actually. Oh, I guess you can't lower. No, you'd have to go online. And go find an online place where you could enter in your own numbers and take that prescription from the doctor and just lower it, the number by 0.5, and there you go. You have a lowered prescription. That's one way around this person's problem that we've thought of, is using an online service and putting in a lower number yourself. But it's a little tricky if you don't know what you're doing. But it's not that bad. You just lower it. So if you have a -4 in your right eye, you lower it to a -3.5 in that eye. And if you have, whatever the other eye is, you just subtract 0.5 from that. And that gives you a lower prescription. So that is okay.
There are some videos and stuff on the website. I think one that seems to be popping up is Lens. I've forgotten what it's called now. But if you just Google prescription glasses, it's like Lens Optical or something. It's becoming a bigger thing now, and you can just think of it as your play glasses. They are. I've got a feeling they're cheaper, Yeah, I think also just remember if you have an astigmatism that you need to make sure that you put your axis in there as well. But there are lots of videos on there. I checked it out, and there's certainly some guidance there, and that, they want to help.
Well, and actually, I have a blog I remember now on how to read your glasses prescription. So look for that on our website as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, just a while ago, yeah.
It's somewhat unfortunate because ideally, this wouldn't even be a question. Wouldn't it be great if you asked your eye doctor for a 0.5 reduction in your glasses and they saw it as a, if anything, it's a shame they don't see it as an opportunity to make more money because they've sold you your full strength and then they get to make more money out of you by then doing your lower strength. But like you say, I think they fear that you're asking for it to go somewhere else. And also, unfortunately, no one in the eye in the medical eye, profession believes that vision can improve. So why would you want a lower
You ever
prescription?
have a lower prescription? Yeah.
I mean, it's so
We're
sad.
fortunate in
We
San
miss.
Francisco to have somebody do it who will do that. And that they do exist. You just, they're hard to find.
Yeah, one thing is to shop around, ask a couple of different places, and get your eyes tested. And you might even, if you go and do your eye exercises for a month, or go in and get your eyes tested somewhere else, you might notice that you're a 0.5 lower anyway. Just through that practice of not wearing your glasses and really working hard on the eye exercises. Also, the eye exams are also down to individual perception. One optometrist might deem you a 3.5, and another one might think you're a 3.25. It's always it can always come down to that.
Two other thoughts I just had. I don't think most optometrists won't do this, but there is a machine that measures your eyeball as opposed the curvature of your eyeball, as opposed to the classic, is this better or is this better? And if anyone does that to you, if they only do the machine and say, oh, this reads your eyeball and it's perfect, it's not. You have to do the is better or is this better, where they flip the lenses. Don't trust anyone who just does the machine, because those are highly in. They're not. They're used to get an idea, but they're not supposed to be used as the final decision there. So that's one thing.
I was going to say, whilst we're talking about it, I notice when they say, is this one clearer? Is number one clearer or is number two clearer? And I noticed now from all this work that we've been doing that neither of them were clearer. But the question, is this clearer or is this clearer? I found myself wanting to say one of them.
Yeah,
Because
I know.
that was the question. Is this clearer or is this clearer? So I found that I kept wanting to. I wasn't really sure. I was like, well, in my mind, I was like, well, neither of them, but I guess this one.
Yeah.
But what I found, what I found I was doing now is just, well, neither of them. And I think it's important for people to remember that you don't have to say which one is. I mean, obviously, if it is clearer, then say it. I'm not, you've got to be honest. But don't feel that you have to, if it's not necessarily improving, then you just don't feel pressured that you can't say it doesn't make a difference.
Oh, and the last thing I was going to say was, when we talk about reducing it by half a diopter, the 0.5, what we're aiming for is for you to see 20/40 through your gla through the reduced prescription, and that's actually if most in most states you can drive with a 20/40 corrected vision. So if you didn't want glasses at all and you had 20/40 vision and you went to the DMV and had the eye test, you would pass. So that's what we're, and we're not recommending you don't wear your glasses if you have 20/40. We want you to wear your glasses if you're driving with even with 20/40. But that proves that even the DMV considers 20/40 vision to be okay. And that's what in your play glasses, that's what we're trying to correct you to is to 20/40. So you're starting out with these lowered prescription at 20/40. As you do the eye exercises, those glasses become your 20/20 glasses, and then you get the next lower prescription, and they become your 20/40 glasses or your lowered prescription glasses. And that's the process. The one pair becomes your 20/20 glasses, and then you get the next pair that's we even weaker, they become your 20/40 glasses, and you just keep cycling down that way.
And why don't you talk a bit about pinhole glasses if somebody
Oh yeah. So another option. So this is in between not wearing glasses at all, the way Will and I did it, and getting these lowered prescriptions. Another thing you can do is buy a pair of pinhole glasses, and they're like 30 or $40 for the expensive ones, which we prefer. And what they're doing is there's pinholes that sort of focus the light rays, create a smaller aperture that the images is passing through, which just sharpens your vision a little bit. And it sharpens it almost to what a prescription pair of glasses would do. Some people don't like them because they are like multiple points. And you're really looking through kind of one at a time, one hole at a time. You're not really looking, you're not a bee who can look through all the holes simultaneously. But so as you move the macula around, you're looking through one hole versus another. And that, for most people, that does enough. Again, it might correct you to maybe 20/60 or something with the pinholes, as opposed to 20/40. It depends on your vision, too. So that's worth a try as well. And then you don't even have to, then you just have your full strength ones for driving, wear the pinholes, and then you pull out the pinholes, so you need to read a sign or you need to read some text, and just sort of a boost. And then eventually the 20/20 glasses become too strong, and then you get a new prescription lower, and those now are your 20/20 glasses, and you're still using the pinholes. That's another approach. I suppose it doesn't save you that much money. It's not any cheaper because you're still trying to reduce the prescription on a regular basis. But it's more natural than the reduced prescription pair approach. Hope that was clear.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. I was just trying to. It's definitely not lens optical because I think that's some random website. But I think I guess it's going to be different for everyone as well, depending on what country they're in. So we really can't.
Right.
Suggest yeah, a company it, name.
Just Google
glasses online, I think.
And I think that's it, yeah. And see if
yeah,
they have
it a seems to work.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah. So ideally, then, you would have an eye doctor that is sympathetic to you wanting weaker glasses. A lot of people, it's sad, a lot of people come to us and complain of headaches, and a lot of people feel that their prescription is too strong anyway, so don't be afraid to tell them that, and that you would prefer to have it lowered. But if not, you could always ring around and ask some other opticians or optometrists that might be happy to lower, and some people are. And then if not, then you can check online and see what you can find there. And yeah, so that's a couple of ways there on how to get your prescription lowered. Okay, so the third and final question then is to do with eye rotations. And it says, when I'm doing the eye rotations, I'm experiencing pain in some areas, which I think is normal. We'll go back to that in a minute. But what also happens is when I look to the far left, I start seeing a light spot, like I've been looking into the sun without my eyes closed. I'm a bit concerned. I'm putting pressure on my optic nerve. And this, should I continue doing this? Right. So I think the first thing I would like to highlight is where it says I'm experiencing pain in some areas, which I think is normal. It's important to remember with all the exercises that we never go to pain. We always want to go right before the point of strain or pain. We never try and work through it or go to it. Now, there's a difference between a stretch and a feeling of maybe a release of tension, like what we experience in massage, or say we're stretching our hamstrings. You feel that point of tension, some might even call it strain, but it feels good. It's like you're stretching it out, and you should never go beyond that point. If you're doing the eye rotations, and this is pretty common with the eye rotations because they're so tight in a lot of people, and they're pretty small muscles, and it's easy for us to push them too hard. So always take it easy with the eye rotations. And you always work within your realm, wherever you are at this point in time, you work within that. So you might notice that it hurts more to the left than it does to the right. So that just means that when you do that rotation, you can stretch more to the right and a little bit less to the left. That's fine. It doesn't mean that you're failing. It doesn't mean you're not doing the exercise. You just take it nice and easy. You do the rotation within what you can do, and just know that over time, that will gradually stretch more and more, and you will be able to do the full rotation without any pain, and certainly notice some of these of effects. Is there anything you'd like to say about that, Richard? As far as the pain?
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced both of what they're talking about, and you're right. There's a stretch. I wouldn't even say it's as intense as my hamstrings are very tight, so it's not. Yeah. It doesn't feel anywhere near as intense as a hamstring stretch, even. But you feel it, and it's definitely stronger in one direction than another. For me, it's all up. All my eyes going up feels more stretched than going down. For me, is not a stretch at all. The other thing I was going to say is that sometimes I do the eye rotations while I'm palming as sort of an additional thing. And that's where I really notice, I think, what they're talking about. This, I get a little bit of a, it's not quite sparking. It's just sort of a, yeah, I think it is a bit of an irritation thing happening from the stretching. But it's not affecting, I mean, obviously we want you to be careful if you have an optic nerve, or a retinal problem, consult your doctor, I suppose, if it really worries you. But we've never heard of anyone damaging either the optic nerve or the retina doing eye rotations. And you do get some of that sort of semi-sparking kind of effect from it. Do you have that effect or not?
No. I think maybe if I continuously look over to one side and really push it to the extreme, then I might notice something along those lines. I think at this point it's important, especially as the individuals that we're talking with aren't necessarily going and seeing a practitioner, that you definitely don't want to work within those areas. I would try and find the point before any flashing or any anything along those lines, because I'm sure obviously there is an area before that. So let me see. I'll start.
For me, also
far left.
Finish. Far left, yeah, that means, yeah, up left is what I notice it. And it goes away for me. So that's why I don't worry about it too much. That it's not like every time, it's only in the beginning when it does that. So probably I'm probably being a little too macho, and if I'd started out slower, maybe I never would hit that point. So maybe that is a better approach. But it's never been a problem. Yeah,
And another thing would be to, so when we do the eye rotations exercise in the Express, if you feel it's too much at this point, and the 10 minutes was, is for those once you're nice and loose and you can do the good, the full exercise, is that you could always cut it into 2 5-minute. So you could just do the first half of the exercise and then later on, you could pause it at 5 minutes, and then later on,
good idea.
You could always do the other 5 minutes. So there's no, there's no restrictions here as far as doing the exercises are concerned. And I'm very pleased. This is a great question to get, and we do tend to get a lot of people, saying that I'm feeling X, Y, Z. Should I really be doing this? And I think as a standard rule, if it's feeling strenuous or it doesn't quite feel right, then it's probably not. So much of our work is trying to learn to listen to the body again. Just work within the realms, and I'm pretty sure that if you do the rotations nice and steady, I know in the exercise, you know, we do talk about looking far left and far right, but of course, you know, that needs to be within your own, you know, wherever you are at that point in time, and gradually build and increase that to where it should feel comfortable. And I think a lot of our listeners will be surprised that, you know, they could maybe say you're in a room and you're doing the exercise, you could pick out objects that you're going to look at, and you look at that object where it doesn't feel strenuous. And then if you went back in a month's time, you'll be surprised how much further to the side you're able to see in comparison to where you were a month ago. So it improves relatively quickly with the eye rotations. But if you push yourself at the beginning, just like what you've noticed with your exercise, that if you push yourself too much, then you could feel strain. It puts you off from the exercises. This is why we said the coaching calls are so important in the first place, because people take the exercise, they maybe push it a little bit too much, they become uncertain, and then they never do the exercise again, where it could be easily resolved, just like what we're talking about here, where just take it a little bit easier. See if you can find that area that you can rotate in and look in without feeling that strain, and just gradually build up over the weeks and months. Okay, and there's the second part of the question. Up until now, I'm doing mainly sunning, palming, distance looking, and head rotations. Is there anything else I can add to my program for natural vision? Well, that is, I think with the Express, there should be... we did distance looking twice, didn't we? So two lots of distance looking.
But this is myopia? This is a condition?
Yeah. It is,
I mean, that's where, I mean, all the exercises are good. We try to minimize it to make people's days work. So certainly, if you want to try any of the other exercises, we would encourage it.
One thing could be to print off the eye chart. It's in the kit. Put the shifting exercise. Just do the shifting exercise on the eye chart, where you look at the letters, and it gradually gets smaller and smaller, and try and be 10 feet or 20 feet away when you do that exercise. And I would just recommend following that. It's very similar to the distance looking, how you're shifting in the distance. But certainly the reason why we did a couple of less exercises is because there's that much more emphasis on distance looking when you have myopia. So if you're finding you want to do a bit more, then certainly spend a little bit more time distance looking, or a little bit more sunning. You know, you could increase some of those. But if you're particularly looking for a specific exercise, I would go for the shifting on the eye chart. Is there anything you would recommend,
Richard? No, that's a very good... I think that's a good idea. Yeah, assuming they don't have any other conditions, but yeah.
Yeah, looking at this, it's... I'm really glad that we did the vision template, because this person is actually... spends a lot of time at the computer. So one thing they might want to try is the peripheral vision exercise.
Yes.
That's going to help release the extraocular muscles, the nasal extraocular muscles that are always focusing in near. And it's also going to help reduce any eye strain. And when you're doing the peripheral vision exercises, you're not actually accommodating. So it means the ciliary muscles are allowed to relax, just like the distance looking exercise. So so going on that premise, then maybe the peripheral vision exercise would be good as far as...
And then, I would say shifting and peripheral. Yeah, exactly. If this person's on the computer a lot, that shifts it away from shifting and more towards the peripheral vision exercise is another one to do. So then again, like play.
Yeah, it's a It's great that we had that extra information there. They could always try putting an eye chart up the furthest point away from the computer on the wall, or somewhere that has a distance. And then when you look up from the computer, if you're, you know, tired of looking out the window or you want to do some shifting, then you could always do the shifting exercise on that eye chart and do the peripheral vision as well. I guess there's a bit of a difference here between your daily exercises, your integrated exercises, and your program. So I guess as far as the quote unquote program is concerned, then maybe the shifting exercise would be better. But considering the amount of computer use that would be going on here, then the peripheral vision exercise would also be good for that as well.
Right. And it might end up being you do the shifting, like you say, you put a chart up and you do the shifting exercise more formally with the chart, and then you have a piece of black paper you put between your eyes from time to time while you're working on the computer, and do it for like 30 seconds or a minute, and then go back and, you know, do something like that. And that would be more of an integrated kind of approach to the peripheral vision exercise. So.
Okay, great. Well, thanks everyone for your great questions this week. It's great to see everybody's coming on well. We've been getting a lot of people's goal settings coming through as well. So it's great to see people moving forward, and we've got quite the ambitious audience. So we look forward to hearing about people's results in the future. And the next coaching call will be... because unfortunately we had to delay this one a little bit, but we're looking at the 18th.
That sounds right. So, Monday the 18th,
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we look forward to speaking everybody then. Good luck with your eye exercises, everyone. Make sure that you do send us your questions, because just as we saw here today, that, you know, the smallest nagging question can really be a bit of a drawback. And even if it might seem a bit obvious to you, it's always good to get a confirmation and also share with the rest of our listeners as well, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people experience the same thing as the exercises are concerned. So it's great to hear from all of you, and good luck with your eye exercises these next few weeks.
All right, have a good couple of weeks.